Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 6:49. I'm Howard Feldman. The EU Parliament votes for unprecedented condemnation of Iran. In a majority vote of 357-20, the EU decided to expand sanctions on Tehran's regime, missile and drone production projects, reiterate support for Israel's security, and calls for the IRGC to be designated a terror organization and demand that Iran comply with the nuclear deal. How significant is this? Well, Professor Eitan Gilboa, he's an expert on U.S.-Israel relations, a senior research fellow at the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I would have thought that given the Iran's behavior over the last number of years, that this would already have been in play. I thought there were sanctions against Iran. What was the situation prior to this?
I would also have thought so, but the policy and the attitudes of both the United States and the EU toward Iran, especially the Iranian nuclear program, has been of a peace plan. Only the deadly attack of Iran against Israel about 2 weeks ago on April 14 suddenly reminded Europeans that there is a clear connection between what is happening in the Middle East and Ukraine. Europe is very much concerned about Ukraine, much more than it does about Israel. They saw Iranian drones and missiles, the same types of weapons Russia is using against Ukraine. It demonstrated the close collaboration between Iran and Russia. So suddenly now, they have better understood what is at stake here, and are imposing sanctions against Iran, new sanctions against Iran's missile program. We found that in the Iranian drones, components that are being manufactured in the West, both in Europe and the United States. And this is incredible. That that Europe is helping Iran to produce drones that then are used by Russia against Ukraine and by Iran against Israel. So this is, I think, the background for this unprecedented decision.
I remember at the time when of the nuclear deal was being discussed and negotiated, that I was quite shocked that it didn't include any sanctions or limitations, I don't think, or anything significant in terms of ballistic missiles. And now, clearly, that's come home to roost. This is obviously now being seen finally as a problem.
Correct. Exactly. The missile issue was left out of the original 2015 nuclear deal that Obama negotiated with Iran, and also Iranians' behavior in the Middle East. What we have seen on April 14 with the Iranian massive attack on Israel, directly on Israel, it's a confrontation between two camps, the Iranian proxies, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis in Yemen, against the other coalition, including Israel, moderate Arab, pro-American Arab countries, and the United States. So what we see now in the region is a clear indication of those two camps and a demonstration of Iran as the head of the snake. Iran is leading that violent terrorist coalition of countries, where wherever you see Iran in the Middle East, you see poverty, civil war, hundreds of thousands of people killed, and famine. Whatever you every bad thing about the region could be attributed to Iran. And there's another coalition that is being built to deal with the Iranian threat, to destroy the entire area, to control the entire area. And it's about time to do it. What is still missing is Joseph Borrell, who is like a foreign minister of the EU, who is still thinks that Iran should be appeased. And he is totally out of touch with both realities in the Middle East, as well as with European policy. And I am hoping that the European Parliament would also discipline him, because he has announced and implemented all kinds of policies toward Iran, which have achieved exactly the opposite results.
Is there one example of appeasement having worked in history? It's just an incredible thing that in this century that anybody thinks that appeasing Iran, while it takes over Syria and Yemen and Lebanon and Iraq, is ever going to work. Iran is taking over as much as it can in the Middle East and isn't stopping there. And yet yet there are those that think they can be reasoned with. It's quite an
exactly.
Absurdity. It's just beyond belief.
Exactly right. Appeasement has never worked in history of international relations. You can try once, but if it does not work, then you have to change policy. And in the last few years, we have seen all kinds of strategies and policies designed to prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power. All of them have failed. The EU, as well as the United States, stated several times, Iran will not become a nuclear power. But in their own policies, they have done exactly the opposite. And if you look at Biden's record of the last few years, completely failed. I'm teaching diplomacy. My first year students would have done better in negotiating with Iran. And this is where the U.S. would come in, because you have to understand the situation in Vienna, where the United States negotiated with Iran. Iran refused to negotiate directly with the United States. So this was the situation. The United States was in one room. Iran was in another room. And Europe was mediating between the two. So instead of the United States and Europe presenting one unified position, telling Iran that it should not become a nuclear power and impose restrictions on its nuclear program, Europe became a neutral actor in this situation. This is unbelievable. This should not have been the case, but it has been the case. It completely failed, and I'm not so sure that the Biden administration learned the right lessons, and that they may still think that the only way to prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power is negotiations and agreements. By the way, we are approaching 2025, and Howard, if you recall, that terrible agreement of 2015.
Oh,
is supposed
gosh.
To expire
and, yes.
until 2025.
Absolutely. I did not even put that together. Absolutely ridiculous. What an incredible, incredible folly this has been for the United States and, of course, the result for Israel and the rest of the world. Professor Eitan Gilboa, thank you as always, expert on U.S.-Israel relations, senior researcher at the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy.